Welcome to Dishing Heat with Wolfie and Big Shot Song. I'm your host, Nathan Wolf.
And I'm your co-host, Max Song.
Today, we have two guests joining us. First, a returning guest, the male Charlie D'Amelio himself, Cummis. Cummis, how you doing?
I don't like you.
And we have our new guest star. He met Yuta Watanabe. He is the greatest Westmount backcourt partner in the school's history. And, of course, he's the self-dubbed Westmount Jason Kidd. Luca, how you doing?
Doing good.
So today it is November 10th at about 9:30 Mountain Time, and we're here back for the fifth episode of the pod. And today we're going to be discussing, at the current moment in the season, about a month in, who would be our picks for each of the awards. In order, we're going to go with MVP, Rookie of the Year, Sixth Man of the Year, MIP, DPOY, Exec of the Year, Coach of the Year, and then finally we're each going to give our NBA first teams to this point. So starting with Max, who is your current MVP of the season?
I got KD as the MVP.
Cummis, who's your MVP?
Steph Curry.
Luca?
I have Stephen Curry.
And I have Nikola Jokic. Max, do you want to start by justifying Kevin Durant as your MVP?
All right, so KD qualifies in the terms of that he's winning enough. He's half a game behind the first seed in the East. He's the fourth seed currently in the East, but he's shooting ridiculous and he's playing at an insanely high clip. Like, dude had 30 on 11 of 12 shooting tonight. The dude's just playing at the highest clip in the NBA. Yeah, he's winning and he's playing at the highest level in the NBA, so he's the MVP.
Team Steph Curry, do you want to give me an argument of why Steph Curry should be the MVP?
Yeah, I mean, like, they're the number one team in the league, and Steph Curry just had 50 points and 10 assists. Like, yeah, that's pretty nice.
Steph Curry is also averaging 27 points. Let me see how many rebounds. 5.7 rebounds and 3.6 assists. No, that's wrong. 6.6 rebounds, 6.6 assists, 1.6 steals, and 0.7 blocks.
Yeah. And I feel like Steph Curry, too, like, the better players he has around him, he has so much gravity that, like, players with less talent around him can shine more because they have more space and less attention on them defensively. Because, like, you're always looking at Steph more than any other player, I think, in the NBA, if you're on defense.
It's like Steph's a deadlier weapon on offense than KD.
Yeah, and his off-ball gravity is like you can build an entire offense around him. Like you can't really do with KD.
I mean, that's fair for sure. I think Steph Curry is definitely up there. I'm going with Nikola Jokic though, because although 100% the Warriors are the best team of the league right now in terms of record, especially being this early in the season, with the records being so close with lots of teams, anywhere in the top five or six is really approximately about the same. So even though the Nuggets are the fifth seed in the West, I'm still counting that as team success. I mean, Jokic is shooting 60-40 right now, 25-14-6. Even though the assists are slightly down, everything else feels like it's up. The efficiency has just been insane from him. He is the team. Jamal Murray's still out, and they're still winning. That's what's incredible to me. In a real voting, there could definitely be voters fatigue in terms of Jokic, but when your second leading scorer is Will Barton, and then you have Aaron Gordon, he's been shooting the three ball so awful. I can't even believe he's their third leading scorer. Like MPJ is just
MPJ's been horrible off too.
Like I'd be horrible. So when you look at that, I feel like Jokic is there. But maybe let's get into a little debate here. So when speaking of Kevin Durant, why is Kevin Durant not the MVP?
Okay, but he's like really good. I just don't want to give him Max.
Dude, I saw him like literally 40 feet away and he was pretty freaking good. Not gonna lie to you. He seems like a pretty good basketball player.
Let's just put it in perspective. I think the only argument here is that KD's not MVP is because of the team around him. That's basically it. That's the only argument I really have. Because let's be real, they're all very good MVP candidates. Right? Because it's very early in the season and they're all performing really well. It's just KD also has a Harden.
Yeah, and that's kind of the problem. Like last year as well, I had the problem with like people were saying LeBron or AD should win. Like it's tough to win MVP with Anthony Davis on your team. Same with like it's tough to win MVP with LeBron James on your team. So I feel like the same thing happens with KD and Harden. Like neither of those guys can really win MVP because they have each other.
Those kind of votes are difficult for sure in terms of like stars. But I mean, Harden's not playing like
Harden's
amazing,
averaging
amazing.
17, bro.
His numbers are down for sure.
Yeah, but when you look at it's his name. It's his name. Like, remember the Warriors run? Like, no one in that conversation, they had the best record like every year, basically, right? But no one in that team was in the conversation for MVP.
I mean, when you look at Kevin Durant is an MVP candidate. He's just not as good as an MVP candidate as Jokic, in my opinion, because Kevin Durant is shooting lower efficiency from both the field and three, and both are shooting awesome efficiency, don't get me wrong. But the only thing Kevin Durant has over Jokic, the only thing is the extra 4 points per game, where Jokic has his extra five boards, slightly more assists. But I just feel like, especially when you're right with the situation, like with what's around Jokic, the fact that even though players are shooting badly, he's finding looks, so they're not shooting horrifically, and they're still winning games even though they're a little depleted. I just that's where my pick comes in.
Right, and like also like Steph, if you watch the games, especially like the team can't function at all without Steph or Jokic. If they're off the floor, the team can't function at all. But in the Nets case, if KD's off the floor, they still have players that they can function properly. That they're still a positive plus minus. But if Jokic are off the floor, they're not even a playoff team.
That team has been awesome. You got like LaMarcus Aldridge, and even though there's some players who are struggling there, namely James Harden, and I believe Joe Harris is not having as nice of a year. He's still playing fine. I think he's shooting 40-40. But I think the other argument, like against Steph Curry, I think Kevin Durant is basically just kind of picked. They're so close with him and Jokic. But Steph Curry, the fact that the efficiency is down by so much, even though the scoring's there, the assists they're around the same amount as Jokic. I just don't see how you can argue this with the huge drop off in efficiency. The 3-point percentage is not there. And I know that he is the team and the gravity on him is huge, but so is Jokic. And yes, you can argue that because of the first seed and the entire team is playing well, that it's definitely a part of Curry. But I think right now, I can't take Curry as my MVP.
Yeah, the reason why I don't have Curry as the MVP is just, like you said, his stats aren't the most amazing. He's definitely going to ramp that up later in the season. But when you look at the Warriors system as a whole, obviously Steph is the main pinnacle of that. But everyone in the Warriors is playing well. The success of the Warriors isn't just because Curry's popping off. It's because everyone on the team, every single role player, like Bielitsa, Gary Payton II, and like Jordan Poole, they're all playing well. So I think when you look at the success of the Warriors, although they're 9-1, they haven't played the best teams. They've beat like one team above 500, I believe. So yeah, I don't think that just because they've won slightly more games that he deserves to be the MVP when his stats are so behind Jokic's and Durant's.
Yeah, I think the MVP debate is really, really tight, especially this early, because it's how much do you value the extra win or two? How much do you value the extra few points? MVP is always tough, but it's not as clear cut at this point. There's a lot of guys none of us argued as well. Like there's people that you could argue Jimmy Butler. I don't think he's there. None of us clearly thought he was there.
He's like top five.
He's top five for sure. There's other guys you can argue, but like, at this point, I think it's kind of pick your player of choice. But let's move on to an award. Definitely there is a few front runners. But it's another tough award is Rookie of the Year. So Max, who is your Rookie of the Year?
My Rookie of the Year is Evan Mobley.
Thomas.
Scotty Barnes.
Luca.
Scotty Barnes.
And I also have Scotty Barnes. So let's go, team Evan Mobley. Team Evan Mobley. What's your argument there?
Terrible idea.
No,
stupid decision.
Like, I think it's really close. I was really debating between these two like for a very long time. I think statistically they're not that different. Scotty Barnes is probably a little bit more efficient, but when I look at the total body of work, I actually think Evan Mobley is more impactful on the defensive end. He protects the rim, and for a big, he's so incredibly switchable. And because of Evan Mobley, the Cavs are playing better as a whole. You could also argue Scotty Barnes. I wouldn't be mad if you argued that. But I think because Evan Mobley has a better defensive impact and the stats are so close, I give it to Evan Mobley.
Team Scotty Barnes, what do we want to say here?
Max, that's just wrong. Your opinion's wrong.
Yeah, so I feel like so far on the defensive end, Mobley's doing a little bit more. But I feel like Scotty Barnes is enough of a positive defender to kind of cancel that out a little bit. Like Mobley, I feel like he has more potential on the defensive end, but like this whole draft, actually, like with Davion Mitchell, Scotty Barnes, and Mobley, like the defensive ceiling for just like a lot of these players is insane. This is like, I think, one of the best defensive drafts in recently, like for sure.
No, but yeah. I also think Scotty Barnes can move his feet better, and like he's more of like a Ben Simmons type defender.
Yeah, he's really big and he's really quick.
Yeah.
Scotty Barnes is an awesome. Scotty Barnes is the team. When Scotty Barnes is on the floor, things just happen. His mid-range game is there. We were talking about a few episodes ago. I mean, he dropped a clean 21 points per game. He was the only positive, basically, in their loss. Gary Trent was nice, but he also was, like, 1-for-7 from three. Scotty Barnes is shooting currently 53-20, 17 points per game. He's got just over a steal, but his defensive impact goes far beyond the stat sheet for sure.
Right.
Yeah. When Scotty Barnes was out, they just looked bad. And then the only knock on Scotty Barnes really is the fact that at this point in the season, he's one or two games behind Evan Mobley, I believe. And that's really where I think that's the only place the argument really relies on. But if you're looking at stats, Scotty Barnes just, him and Evan Mobley are kind of in the same situation in terms of efficiency, stats, whatever. But Scotty Barnes' points are up. And I think his rebounds are actually higher than.
Wait, Max, what's Evan Mobley's rebounds?
He's at 8.
Barnes is at
9, yeah. Barnes is split. I mean, we can also talk about our friend, Mr. Chris Duarte in Indiana. I mean, he's the other guy there. You can argue Wagner, but I wouldn't. I think Chris Duarte is the only other guy you can argue there.
Yeah,
for Rookie of the Year. He's really awesome.
Props to Masai Ujiri for, like, somehow seeming to never have made, like, a bad decision ever. Like, taking Barnes over Suggs. Like, everyone was kind of on the fence about that. I saw Suggs as kind of, like a better kind of top-level prospect. But nope, like, he's being outplayed by Franz Wagner. He's really inefficient. And Barnes is, like, this, like,
yeah, we can also
defender while, like, bring tons of energy and, like
not every, like, offense. Not every decision he made was good, though. Malachi Flynn. But, yes, I agree with you for sure.
He's one of the best front office guys, I think, in the NBA easily right now.
Jalen Suggs just sucks. He's just terrible.
Yeah, Jalen Suggs is good. Horrible.
But, I mean,
like, someone fire him.
It's rookie guards, though. Like, it seems to happen every single year. Rookie guards as a concept are just not very good to start for the last few seasons. When you look at, like, I mean, maybe it's indicative of the players, but, like, this year, Jalen Green, Jalen Suggs. Last year, Cole Anthony, he's playing much better this year. He just wasn't efficient. He wasn't good last year. Well, Killian Hayes is another guy.
Guards don't expect to be as efficient, but they're still, like, producing. The rookies are producing. Jalen Suggs, I mean, Jalen Green and Kay Cunningham are still producing numbers. They're still doing good.
Jalen Green is just really, really awfully inefficient, right? Like, awful. And, Josh Giddey actually has been decent, but that's a guy that... He played overseas, right? I mean,
yeah, he played in Australia.
It makes sense why the transition's been there compared to guys like Davion Mitchell, who is still working on his offensive game. And there's players that just... A lot of the guards just need time. Like, none of them are playing, like, exceptionally well, other than Duarte. But he was also an old rook, right? Like, guards are different. They're, not that it gives them any more props in this debate, but it's just, like, it feels like it's a trend. Ant-Man wasn't that good last year, and then he ramped it up basically right after LaMelo got injured.
Yeah, after All-Star break, they'll figure something out.
Yeah, exactly. Let's look at our next argument here. We got Sixth Man of the Year. Max, who is your Sixth Man of the Year?
For Sixth Man, I have Tyler Hero.
Okay, Kamis?
I have Carmelo Anthony.
Luca?
I think I have Tyler Hero.
I also have Tyler Hero. So we'll go with Camp, non-Tyler Hero. Camp Carmelo, what do you got?
Oh, I got you. Let me pull up his stats right now. Okay, first of all, Carmelo Anthony's been the best scorer other than Anthony Davis on the Lakers. He's been one of the best shooters in the league. Let me pull up his stats.
For your argument, you could argue that he's been the best scorer on the Lakers 100%. I'd give it to you. Even over Anthony Davis,
I'd say he's more efficient than Anthony Davis. But let me just pull it up right now.
Like, he has been more efficient, and Anthony Davis's three ball is an absolute nightmare for the past two seasons.
He's been shooting terrible. He's been what? He was shooting 12%.
12%, and last year it was abysmal too. It was like 20-something%. It was not good. You could definitely argue Melo's been their best offensive player, especially since LeBron's only played the 6 games. I think that's fair for sure. I think it's true too.
Okay, so these are Carmelo's stats so far this season, right? He had 28 on 10-for-15. He had 4, which is we don't count that. He has 13 points, 24 points, 23 points, 15 points, 21 points, 12 points, 29 points, and he's played 16 minutes so far in this Miami game tonight, which is November 10th. And he's already had 7 points on 3-for-6. And he's shooting 50%. He's shooting 50% field goal percentage. And his, like, home 3 percentage is something stupid. It's like 60-70%.
Yeah, Melo's been awesome. I the argument is 100% there for Carmelo Anthony. The fact that he's coming off the bench, I mean, it makes sense given sort of makes sense given their situation. I feel like he's been one of their best players. His minutes are I believe third or his minutes are our fourth on the team. He's playing like a starter. I mean, he's shooting 50-52 like on 18 points per game. It's the argument really is only Hero or him. And they're similar. I mean, with Hero, I think the argument is the points per game difference, and also the boards and assists compared to Melo are both up. When you look at Tyler Hero, he's shooting 45-40, which is definitely significantly lower, but the points are up. He especially earlier in the season, he was awesome. Camp Tyler Hero, we got anything else?
I really just think it's an assist for me. Carmelo Anthony's just a pure scorer. He comes off the bench. Whenever the ball touches his hands, he just shoots it. Well, Hero really leads the Heat's second unit very well because he's averaging 4 assists, and he's just running it more smoothly than Melo. Melo's a better pure shooter, but I think in terms of being impactful, Tyler is more impactful than just being a scorer. So I think Tyler's just the sixth man of the year.
Well, okay, I have a rebuttal to that. Okay. So Tyler Hero also functions as the point guard on the second unit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so exactly. That's not Melo's job. Melo's job is to just be a scorer, so Rondo does the whole point guard duties. But no one else will score on the second unit except Melo. So Melo carries the whole second unit while all the starters are on the bench. So he's the only reason the second units can compete with the other second unit when the starters are on the bench. That's basically my only rebuttal.
No, but yeah. Well, we're not arguing who fulfills their role better. I think you also have to consider whose role is more important. I think Tyler's role is more important in that he does more than Melo.
Tyler Hero is definitely... They're really close. You're basically... I mean, Tyler Hero is still a shooting guard. Like, that right. Still is his position. I would still count them as the same position. I definitely agree with you in terms of the fact that Melo is the second unit. You do have Austin Reeves there. Wayne Ellington has to get himself back into form because he missed a lot of games. But Austin Reeves has still played nice. I mean, yeah, the rest of that second unit definitely leaves a lot to be desired for sure, with Rondo and Dwight Howard just not playing that great. So it's really close. But like when you talk about leading a second unit, I mean, Melo leads him in scoring, but Tyler Hero really leads that second unit. I was watching the game with them against the Hornets, and him and Bam Adebayo, like, they put him on at the same time, and it was over. They just bucket after bucket after bucket. Moving on now, we got the MIP, and Max, who is your MIP to this point?
For MIP, I have Ja Morant.
Thomas?
I also have Ja Morant.
Luca?
I have Ja Morant.
Okay, I'm arguing Miles Bridges, so I'll give the Ja Morant camp their argument first. So what do you got?
I think it was so close between him and Miles Bridges. But I think it really came down to efficiency. Miles' efficiency has actually dropped a little bit, while Ja's has gone up pretty significantly. He's shooting 49% from the field this season, and especially the three ball. Last season, he was shooting 30%, and this season, he's shooting 37%. He's averaging 7 more points than last season. So, yeah, I think he's just improved tremendously.
He's also done a better job being a leader. He's also, started taking over a lot more in the clutch. It's been ridiculous. In the clutch, he's been getting buckets, and he's been talking trash. He's been leading. You can even see he's leading the defensive end too. He's making sure everyone's heads are up and stuff. He's doing a good job.
Yeah, and I feel I think it's closer than people think, because most improved, you have to take into consideration Ja was already way better than Miles Bridges last year.
Right.
So I think he's still improved more, but he's legitimately in the running for. He's not going to win it, but he's being talked about as an MVP candidate, which is even from last year. Was he an All-Star last year?
No. He wasn't.
So from having MVP talks, from not even being an All-Star is just a huge jump to me. And I also think Bridges is really benefiting from LaMelo. His playmaking and gravity really allows him to play his game more, but yeah.
And they're also playing Miles Bridges more minutes, so his production rate is going to go up. Because if you're not, then you're just a bad basketball player. But he's been really feeding off of LaMelo because they're best buddies. So whenever there's those two on the court, he plays a lot better. But it's just Ja Morant is just leading the team a lot better. He's just being himself, but a better version of himself. Miles Bridges is just scoring more.
It's fair for sure. I mean, I love me some Airbnb. It is super fun to watch, but the improvement really. MIP is an interesting award because it's tough to, how do you quantify improvements? Purely stats, like, because minutes go up and sometimes efficiency goes down. That's why I was so appalled when everyone was thinking that Devontae Graham should have been in the MIP talks a few years ago. The guy's efficiency is awful. He's been awful. I'm not a Devontae Graham fan, and I'm a Pelicans fan. It's very unfortunate that those two seem to coincide.
Okay, but so
when you're looking at Miles Bridges,
for anyone that doesn't know Nathan, not a Devontae Graham fan is like the biggest understatement of all time. Like, you have a passion for disliking this
fan. I cannot stand Devontae Graham, but that's not today's debate. Unfortunately, trust me, I'm not very happy about that. But Miles Bridges,
that could be a podcast episode in itself.
Oh, it could be more. It could be a movie. You can watch a whole movie about me. You remember when Devontae Graham came over and I wrote like 3 paragraphs on the group chat. And I was not excited at all. I was so upset. You let Lonzo Ball go for Devontae. Oh my God, I can't get into it. They traded away at first for Devontae Graham. But when you look at John Morant was that guy last year, and he was, the efficiency has gone up. Like, John Morant was super overrated last season, and now he's like, he's right at that rating. He's really fallen into it. But the playoffs, John Morant is kind of the John Morant that I came to expect this season, and that's what I got. That's where the MIP doesn't really fall in for me. The only thing that's improved for him, his minutes are slightly up, but barely. It's the efficiency that's been awesome. So for sure, you can argue that. But Miles Bridges is a whole nother player. Who would have thought of Miles Bridges as a 22 points per game scorer? To this point in the season. I don't think Miles Bridges will be there at the end of the season, like I've said in the past. But Miles Bridges, the rebounding's there. He is the team. He leads the team in scoring right now. He's also having a few assists. He's averaging 1.8 steals, 0.8 blocks. The defense has been nice. I know the efficiency isn't there, and you can argue that efficiency drop plus minutes addition means that maybe he's not there. But 10 points in a change of like 7 minutes, I don't see the argument for Ja Morant based on the player we thought he was going to be coming out of the playoffs. Moving on to our next award, which may be a full wash, we got the DPOY award. Max, who do you have?
People don't like this guy, but I have Rudy Gobert.
It's Rudy Gobert.
It's Luca.
Yes, I have the Stifle Tower.
Yeah, me too. Does anyone want to give one overarching argument for Rudy Gobert?
Not really, but I do want to say the Davion Mitchell odds are way too high. Like, plus 8,000, it should be, like, plus 20,000 for defensive player of the year.
Okay.
You know, he's averaging 15 points per game, and he's still averaging more rebounds.
I know, it's awesome.
He's a menace.
He's the only reason Jonas Valanciunas isn't leading the league in rebounds, I believe.
Like, he was just stupid. Like, on defense, though, like, okay, it's the normal argument. Rudy Gobert, he will alter shots, he'll block shots, blah, 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 blah. And that's what he's still doing. And he's doing that even at a better rate this season with more rebounds. It's just stupid, honestly.
It's crazy that his offense has gotten better, too. Like, it doesn't matter from DPOY, but, like, the rebounds are up. I count rebounds as a part of DPOY for sure because 2K puts them together in the same badge, so they get to count as the same thing. But yeah, Rudy Gobert, it's really just tough to argue anyone else, especially with Ben Simmons out. The argument for anyone else really drops off, unfortunately. It's kind of boring, but I think Rudy Gobert is, and I think by the end of the season will win DPOY. Let's get into a little more of an interesting award. We got the Executive of the Year. We're gonna argue based on basically the improvements that the team has made, kind of like, I'm sure Executive of the Year is based off of, but I'm not 100% sure. I believe it's based off of the improvements made by the team. We're not necessarily looking at like their hires or their front office. We're gonna more look at the team's improvements on who they signed. So Max, who do you have?
I have Mark Eversley, the GM of the Chicago Bulls.
Thomas?
Yeah, I'm gonna go with whatever GM is Washington's GM.
Okay, that's fair for sure. Luca?
Yeah, I have Eversley as well.
I'm gonna argue Bob Myers, GM of the Warriors. Max, you wanna get started on that debate?
I think it's pretty simple. DeRozan, Lonzo, Caruso tied for first in the East when last year they were 11th. Like, I think that says enough.
Fair. What about the camp that is arguing the Warriors GM? Or not the Warriors, sorry, my bad. I am the Warriors GM. I'll argue the Warriors. the Warriors, it basically comes down to the fact that their salary cap situation was ridiculous. and they got rid of Oubre, but then they got better. They picked up Iguodala again, which is seeming to be a nice pickup for them on the defensive end. But they grabbed three players of key, technically two. Otto Porter, Bielitsa, and they brought back Gary Payton at the end. He cleared waivers, and they still brought him back. And oh my God, am I happy they brought him. I was so sad when they cut him because I've been watching G League more these past few years. And I was like, oh, you got to cut that G League deep way. But he comes back. And really, the argument just comes down to the fact that this team, we didn't really know how good they would be coming into the season without Clay, and they're looking absolutely fantastic. Bielitsa leads the league in three-point percentage. He's shooting 57-57. I was so happy when he got signed. Ask anyone here. I was very, very excited about Bielitsa getting signed. Otto Porter is shooting 49-47. That's a guy that nobody wanted, and they picked up basically for free. Gary Payton is playing awesome defense. He's shooting 70-56, six Whoa. Points per game. I just... With the addition of those three, really, I'm going to count that as an addition. And Gary Payton, that's my debate. What about
Gary Payton been catching bodies too?
Oh my God, he absolutely murdered. Was it Trey Murphy on the Pels? Who did he? Oh, Didi.
Drop step dunks too.
It's oh my like God, stupid. The one on Didi at the end of that game. I was so happy I didn't turn the game off until that point because that was absolutely monstrous. But for the argument for the Warrior, the Wizards GM.
Okay, so the Washington Wizards are tied for first in the East, right?
They are.
Bradley Beal is their star player, and he's actually having a down year. And they traded away Russell Westbrook for Kuz and Montrez, and they got Spencer Dinwiddie as well. And Kuz and Montrez have been having actually a really good year. Like, Montrez Harrell is, like, top five in, like, paint points per game or something like that. Something stupid.
He's ridiculous.
Yeah, and he's still off the bench. And they also got KCP. KCP hasn't been really good at all, and they're still, like, doing a lot better. It's kind of weird, actually.
KCP is not bad. I think people are over...
He's not been doing good. He's ice cold this year.
No, he's shooting 43-40. He's not terrible at all. But like, if you look at the four additions, Bradley Beal having a down year, I think, is an understatement. He's getting better, but it was, especially a week ago, that was an understatement. They won again today, by the way.
By three.
And
yeah, Beal Kuz hit that game winner, awful. Yeah?
Yeah, and Kuz was awesome, and Beal was awful. And Harrell was absolutely awesome off the bench. I saw by Basketball Reference some sort of metric. They had Montrezl Harrell's like eighth or ninth in MVP standings right now.
Yeah,
I thought that was really interesting. For a guy who's shooting 63% from the field, averaging 18 points per game, 9 boards, and that's not counting today's game. The points per game should be a little bit higher probably. Kuzma is averaging 14 on 42-35. That'll go up. Those numbers will go up again because of today's. KCP's playing nicely. And Dinwiddie, I mean, the efficiency isn't like crazy, like outstanding, but 42-38, 16 points per game. All those additions have been fantastic. The fact that they won again today too against the Cavs team, that's definitely a good Cavs team to move to 8-3 now. That's insane. For the argument though, for the two people arguing, the Bulls GM, what's your debate based on against the other two?
Yeah, I think just record, I think this Bulls team is like overperforming even for what people thought, even with all the hype going into it. Like, there's concerns about their defense and all that. And like preseason, they were balling out, but people are saying, oh, they played their starters more against the other team's bench. Like, other teams are trying to figure out their systems more. And there's going to be like struggles about the defense, but they've called everyone the bluff. Like, they really performed well, and the chemistry is seeming to work really well. And Rosen's balling out, so.
Yeah, if you look at the margin of wins, like, they beat the Nets by 23, they beat the Celtics by 14, and, like, they beat the Pistons, who cares about the Pistons, whatever, by 15, Pelicans by 16. So the margins of wins have been crazy. The Wizards won by, like, 9, they've won by 1 in overtime against the Pacers. Yeah, so I think in terms of just who's a better team, even though they have the same record, the Bulls are just more improved from last season, considering that the Wizards actually made the play-in, I believe, last year. Or did they made the playoffs. Yeah, they made the playoffs. Yeah, they made the playoffs last year. Yeah, but the Bulls didn't make the playoffs or even the play-in. So I think the Bulls are just more improved than the Wizards.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm gonna argue a little bit for every team because this is a debate that I like what all these teams have done. When you look at the Bulls, I was so happy when they picked up Tamar. I couldn't believe people were not excited about that pickup. There was, I think Bleacher Report had it as like the worst pickup.
Oh my god!
Period.
Should have been Russ, someone... but whatever.
Yeah. Tamar shooting.
See how good Tamar was on the Spurs. He was actually
ridiculous. Tamar on the Spurs was absolutely nuts. Tamar on the Spurs was a full playmaker, and then when it got to the clutch, he didn't miss ever in any circumstance.
He was so stupid. He was the worst. Maybe because they didn't like his spacing or something, or they just didn't watch Spurs basketball.
You know what? You don't like. Yeah. Oh my god. I watched a decent amount of Spurs basketball over the 2 seasons he was there. I believe it was their 2 seasons. Yeah, and he was so good. The assists are down this year, but that's because that's not what he has to do anymore. The entire team is picking up assists. It's a collective, a group thing. DeMar's averaging 27 points per game. He's right back to 15 or 16, 17 form, I believe. Right. Whenever they put him on the cover of 2K, he's shooting like 50, 39. It's just like the 39 is there too. DeMar at this point is on my All-NBA list for sure, and I think it's on a few others. Like, he's the best player on that team right now, and everyone thought it would be LaVine, and it's not. It's DeMar. And I Vooch is not having a good season, and it doesn't matter to this point. When you look at the Bulls, their offensive rating is sixth in the league, and their defensive rating is fourth. Like, what? That's not the team we thought they were going to be. That's crazy to think about. So yeah, for sure. I can see an argument for any of these GMs for sure. On our next debate, we're going to look at Coach of the Year. And who is our Coach of the Year, starting with Max?
It's not a debate for me. It's literally Steve Kerr.
Thomas?
Yeah, it's not a debate. It's Steve Kerr.
Luca?
Yeah, I got Kerr.
All right, we'll go Kerr. But let me just throw out a list of honorable mentions, which is basically there's two, in my opinion. It's Spoelstra. And it's annoying because the Bulls coach is escaping me, but... whatever his name is, Billy Donovan. Thank you. Those are basically the three that I think you can argue for this. But the way the Warriors have played is outstanding, especially since I would give it. I gave them GM, so you can argue that it's everything. The whole team has come together there, and that's why I think we all have Kerr.
Like, you can say, although other Warriors players are playing good, but they're playing abnormally good. And that's also props to the coach and the ball movement, the open shots they're getting and the easy shots and, like, the chemistry they already have. It's props to the coach, really.
And, I think Kerr at this point knows how to build around Steph. Like, he knows how to run that movement and, like, running those so many screens and off-ball stuff for Steph. They're able to implement that for other young players who are shooting well. Like, if you can get your guys open threes – and they're hitting them, you're going to have a great offense.
And they just already have such good spacing, and when Klay Thompson comes back, it's going to be stupid.
Well, it's going to be insane.
Like, they're finals contention.
Oh, for sure. Coming from a person who watched a lot of Warriors basketball last year and was just overall just disappointed with how they played last year, it's so nice to see them playing well this year. Damian Lee is a guy that I've liked over the last few years, and he's really playing nicely this year. Draymond Green is actually... playing a little bit of offense, like that's kind of weird, but like it's occurring.
He's been getting dunks too. He's been getting up recently.
I know, he had that dunk against the. He just came down the lane and dunked it. I was like, where was this for the entire last 2 seasons? I've been watching Warriors basketball, and they've done absolutely nothing. The team really. It's just this is a whole new year of Warriors basketball. The shots that they're getting. I don't know if you saw Otto Porter's 9 straight points in 40 seconds. Like it's everybody. It's really awesome to see for the Warriors there. But we'll move on to our last and we're going to look at everyone's NBA first team. So we're going to go position by position. And if everyone is very similar, we'll just move on to the ones where we have more of a debate. So starting with whoever's at your point guard slot, we're going mostly – it's slightly fluid with guards. But if you have a like clear point guard, who is your point guard, Max?
Steph Curry.
Thomas?
Steph Curry.
Luka?
Yeah, I don't think this is an area of debate. I'm saying Steph Curry.
For sure. There is no debate here, really. I don't see who you pick over Steph for sure. We'll move to the second guard spot. Max?
Paul George.
Okay, Kamis?
DeMar DeRozan.
Luca?
Yeah, this one is tough. I'm gonna give the edge to DeMar just because of the team success over the individual scoring rate.
Sure, I'm going to give it to DeMar as well. Does anyone else have Paul George on their list?
No.
No.
And Max, do you have DeMar?
I do not.
Okay, so let's go with this. So why do you have Paul George then, Max?
It was so close for me, but I think when I look at the NBA first team, I'm not really looking at team success like Luka. I'm looking at individual statistics. DeMar has been great individually, don't get me wrong. But if you look at Paul George's stats, you really look at his 8 assists. Like, he's the engine for the Clippers team right now. DeMar is only averaging 4 assists, I believe. So I think Paul George and DeMar are similar in terms of scoring, with DeMar being slightly more efficient. But Paul George really just runs the Clippers offense, and he's just a better playmaker. I'm tentative to say that, but I think he's a better playmaker this season. So marginally, I give it to Paul George.
How many assists do you have Paul George on?
Sorry, he had 5. I was reading his rebounds. Okay. Yeah, he had 5.
I heard you say 8, and I was like, whoa. Yeah,
I was about to say, like, wait.
I have to change my... My bad. He on 8 rebounds. Yeah. He on 8 boards.
Okay, yeah.
Do we want to argue? Who wants to argue, DeMar?
Okay, well, you said, like, team success doesn't matter, right?
Not too much to me, no.
Well, if what they're producing is not leading to wins, then what's the point?
Well, I think a lot of the time Paul George can't control it, right? Like, I think the Bulls team is better than the Clippers team significantly this year. The Clippers' second best player is Reggie Jackson probably this season, while the Bulls have...
Don't diss Reggie Jackson.
No, Reggie's been great, don't get me wrong, but he's not close to the level of, like, LaVine. So I think on an individual basis, it's not because of Paul George that they're not winning, even though the Clippers are pretty good this year. I think... if you swapped DeMar and Paul George, I think the Bulls would be even better.
Yeah, but like, if one team's significantly doing a lot better than the other, right? And two players have similar numbers, you're going to give the award to the player who has a lot better team success when he has even a little less numbers, right? That's how you say.
There's a debate there for sure. In terms of team success, though, it's not like the Clippers have been awful. They're on a nice little, I think I believe it's a 5-game winning streak coming off of their win last night.
Yep.
Based on when now that Paul George has kind of started playing better and the team is started finding their way, especially with guys like Reggie J is playing better than he was at the start of year. Luke Kennard is my guy. I'm so happy they're finally playing him this year, because Luke Kennard is awesome. Luke Kennard is another debate, but Luke Kennard is averaging 11 points on 44-47. Luke Kennard, so good. He's better than everyone on the Bulls. But I think the argument actually in Paul George versus DeMar is DeMar is just more efficient than Paul George right now. Although George is taking more threes, so you could argue it's very similar. I just feel like DeMar has this slight edge over Paul George right now just based on that. But it is really, really close.
Yeah, just to bring up something that I forgot to bring up earlier, I think Paul George just trumps DeMar on defense as well. He's averaging 2.5 steals, which is like really, really high. So I think that gives him the edge as well.
Yeah, it's really close. I really do enjoy your debate, because I think it's right there. It's like neck and neck. So I could definitely see myself leaning the Paul George side. But when we look at small forward, who do we have or whatever one of your forward spots, Max?
We can do already both the forwards.
Sure, let's see if we can do both
forwards. Yeah.
I got KD and Giannis.
Okay, Kamis?
KD and Jimmy Butler.
Luca?
I have KD and Giannis.
Okay, I also have KD and Giannis. Jimmy Butler is over which one for you then?
Giannis.
Over Giannis. Okay, let's hear this. Okay, so when... I'll start in terms of the Giannis camp. Giannis has higher assists. Giannis has higher rebounds. Giannis has higher points. The field goal percentage and 3-point percentage somehow very similar. Efficiency field goal within a percent of each other. Although the free throw percentage is down for Giannis. But Giannis is just right now. I have him over Jimmy Butler because he's just doing more of everything than Jimmy Butler.
I think also Giannis is like just so much more of a presence on the court. Like, defensively, he's still arguably the best player in the league. Like, for sure, second, I think, to Gobert. And I think if you swap Butler and Giannis, like, the Heat are the best team in the league, and it's not close. And Miami's, like, a legitimate, not 500, but maybe, like, not a legit contender, I think.
So, no. Miami Heat's record right now is 7-3, right? Well, my main argument is, like, Jimmy Butler's leading to win. So, if y'all don't agree with that for individual accolades, then obviously my argument won't matter to you. But he's still averaging like 25 points per game. Let me pull Jimmy Butler's stats.
Dude, the reason why Giannis isn't winning is because all the starters are injured. Drew's playing like Middleton's garbage. Middleton's been out. Brook Lopez is out. So it's not Giannis's fault, right? On an individual basis, Giannis is still playing better than Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, and they're still 6-6.
Jimmy Butler's averaging 25.3 points per game, 6 rebounds per game, and 6 assists per game.
And, right, and Giannis is averaging more in all of those categories.
Okay, but like, listen.
Guys. Great rebuttal.
Okay, well, okay, let's move on to the center spot. Who we got the center spot?
Jokic. Definitely Jokic.
Okay, team Jokic. Yeah, I think the only debatables really came in that in the 2 through 4, in terms of adding in a Paul George or a Jimmy Butler or whatever interchangeable group of those you wanted to add. I just don't see getting rid of Giannis. I could see you arguing Jimmy Butler over DeRozan. I just don't see you arguing Jimmy Butler over Giannis to this point. But I think that wraps up today's discussion on the awards. It's interesting looking at awards this early in the season because there'll be players that might not necessarily be there by the end of the year. Like guys like we don't know necessarily tomorrow or Miles Bridges is going to be at this level at the end of the year, but it's definitely going to be interesting to see and what we're kind of looking at because the season has definitely gotten underway. Most teams have played at least 10 to somewhere between 10 and 12 games. We're definitely getting somewhere, so it is interesting to now look at, especially with the stats becoming a little more legitimized to this point in the season. It's not as much of a fluke if you do it over 10 games than it is if you do it over 3. But thank you so much to Thomas and Luca for coming on. I really appreciate you guys.
Thank you for having us.
You're welcome.
Yay, Thomas. as always, co-host Max, we will be back hopefully this weekend for our regular news episode. But this was a really fun one to do, and we will see you in the next episode.